This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The Daily Variety reported on Monday that CBS is considering canceling or postponing its upcoming miniseries, The Reagans. The director of the four-hour TV movie, Robert Alan Ackerman, may ask the Directors Guild of America to remove his name from the movie in protest and has quit the production over creative differences with CBS executives, who he said have insisted on many last-minute alterations to the miniseries. Neither producers for the two-part film, slated to air November 16th and 18th, nor Ackerman's representative could immediately be reached for comment. CBS will decide soon whether to pull the miniseries from the network's November schedule altogether and possibly reschedule it for a later date once satisfied with the final edits. Uncertified software may have been installed on electronic voting machines used in one California county, according to the Secretary of State's office. Mark Correll, Assistant Secretary of State for Policy and Planning, told attendees Thursday at a panel meeting on voting systems that California was halting the certification process for new voting machines manufactured by Diebold Election Systems until the Secretary of State's office can investigate the matter. Correll mentioned discovery of disconcerting information that Diebold may have installed uncertified software on its touchscreen machines used in one county, which was later revealed to be Alameda County. Diebold officials who were attending the meeting seemed surprised by the announcement and expressed displeasure to several panelists afterwards that it had been introduced in a public forum. The UN's top nuclear weapons inspector Monday called on the United States to provide his agency with a copy of a classified American report on Iraq's banned weapons and to allow his inspectors to return to Iraq. "If there are weapons, we would like to find them. If there are no weapons, we would like to conclude the issue," said Mohammed El-Baradei, Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency. "They owe us the classified version." He reiterated that the United States, like all UN member states, is obliged under the terms of Security Council resolutions to provide his agency with information that advances its knowledge of Iraq's past nuclear ambitions. More news after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
A woman in Germany was surprised when the intercom system she was using to monitor her sleeping baby picked up a radio conversation in which a thief described his bungled robbery of a nearby bar. Instead of hearing her baby's wails, the mother got the 46-year-old's confession. She then informed police, who promptly arrested the thief. The man had been talking about the attempted robbery to friends over a CB radio set when the conversation was intercepted by the baby's intercom system.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Sometimes I miss the old days. Remember back when war profiteering actually was thought to be a bad thing? Indeed, Harry Truman considered it treason. But hey, that's so old school. In these modern times of corporate coziness with Washington, war profiteering is business as usual, just another of the entitlements that flow from corporate campaign contributions. And far from denouncing it, top officials applaud it, ably assist it, and even become profiteers themselves. Dick Halliburton Cheney, for example, is the poster boy of the ever-revolving door between the Pentagon and war profiteers. But now, multi-billion dollar profiteering by such names as Halliburton, Bechtel, and Boeing has become such a booming business that a new kind of corporate consultant has sprung up, profiteering facilitator. These are political insiders who use their Washington connections to help paying clients get fat government contracts from us taxpayers to do this or that in Iraq. Many of these boondoggles are awarded out of the political offices of the White House and Pentagon with no competitive bids and little or no congressional oversight. Among the profiteering facilitators to set up shop is Joe Albaugh, a longtime Texas political crony of George W.'s who was appointed honcho of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Now, Joe has spun through the government's revolving door to open New Bridge Strategies, getting huge fees paid by corporations that want Joe's guidance on getting a piece of that $87 billion that the Bushites are dumping into Iraq this year. Of course, facilitators like Joe see no ethical conflict in profiteering on their connections. Albaugh has proven to be ethically clueless, saying, "Because my friend is president of the United States, I'm supposed to check out of life?" This is Jim Hightower saying, "No, Joe, just check out of being a corrupt pig."
Doug, listening to you sing Back on the Saddle again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There was a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting on the IE America Radio Network. America's only national liberal talk radio network. Yes, indeed, it really exists. Today, day 113 in the hunt for the traitor in the White House who outed a CIA agent, Valerie Plame, the wife of Joe Wilson. Day 268 in the search for weapons of mass destruction. I have a day number. I didn't catch it. But somebody posted it on our message board, and I will catch it during the first break here, of how many days it's been since the anthrax attack. We'll have that for you shortly. And today is day 783. 783 days. How many? In the search for Osama bin Laden. It's also election day. If you are in a community, a municipality, a state where an election is being held, please participate. Please participate. And if you are not registered to vote for the next election, get out there and get registered. Lots of news for our first hour. And our second hour, we're going to get into how much of the no-spin zone is spin with the author of a new book called The O'Reilly Zone. And in our third hour, some more news. Is the draft about to return? Throughout the whole thing, your calls if you'd like. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. We'll start out with just a thought for the day here. First of all, our quote for the day from John F. Kennedy, John Fitzgerald Kennedy: "War will exist until that distant day when the conscientious objector enjoys the same reputation and prestige as does the warrior today." John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Can you imagine if Howard Dean said that, how he'd be taken apart, or if Dennis Kucinich said it, or if Dick Gephardt? I saw Dick Gephardt last night on, Chris Matthews' Hardball Show. And he really comported himself well. I have a feeling that this is going to come down to Gephardt versus Dean, and either one of them would make an excellent candidate. And, who knows? We'll see. Also, if you'd like to drop into our chat room where you'll find some of the most interesting conversations on the Internet, go to TomHartmann.com. You'll also find links there to online archives of the program at WhiteRoseSociety.org and the various web streams where you can hear the program, i.e. AmericaRadio.com, RadioPower.org, Live365.com. Here's our thought for the day from Teddy Kennedy, the brother of the quote for the day, John Kennedy.
The real action that was not in the American interest was the decision to go to war unilaterally without the support of our allies and without a plan to win the peace. We need a plan from the administration, a real plan, before we write an $87 billion blank check to pay for this administration's hollow policy in Iraq.
Yeah, but it looks like we're going to write the check anyway. Interesting, yesterday, The Independent in UK, an article by David Osborne. Public confidence in Bush continues to fall as more American soldiers die in Iraq. And you say, what was this? Oh, today is day, let's see, 756. Thank you. Could you please consider the search for the anthrax attacker? Day count at the top of your program, along with the search for Bin Laden, search for weapons of mass destruction, and the search for Valerie Plame. And I will make a note. Today, day 756 in the search for the anthrax attacker, who just happened, by coincidence, no doubt, to drop that anthrax, those two anthrax letters that went to members of Congress, to the two people, Tom Daschle and Patrick Leahy, who were at that moment in a position to obstruct the Patriot Act. Pat Leahy, head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and with some power, since Jim Jeffords had just pulled out of the Republican Party. And Tom Daschle, the head of the Senate Democrats. And they could have stopped the Patriot Act, and they were talking about it, and then all of a sudden, just those two men got anthrax in the mail. And for some reason, this administration has spent 756 days looking for that anthrax attacker with no success. The failure to control the situation in Iraq and the rising number of American casualties are beginning to cost President George Bush dearly, according to this article in The Independent. For the first time, a majority of Americans, 51%, according to a poll published yesterday, disapprove of Mr. Bush's actions in Iraq. This is a poll taken before, by the way, the helicopter was shot down. This is the Washington Post ABC News poll that showed that 87% of Americans, 87%, are concerned that we're bogged down in Iraq. 62% say that we have already suffered an unacceptable death toll. And only 9% of Americans believe that they are better off today than they were the day that Mr. Bush took office. And we know who those 9% are. They're folks like Dennis Kozlowski, spent $2.1 million of Tyco's money on his wife's birthday party. Remarkable. Have you been noticing, I woke up this morning at 5 o'clock to the BBC, their 10 a.m. newscast from London, which usually wakes me up in the morning, to this whole thing about the mutual funds in the United States. A mutual fund is basically, say you want to invest in the oil industry, but you don't want to go through the hassle of buying 35 shares of Standard Oil and 300 shares of Exxon and 212 shares of Texaco or whatever. But you want to invest in that industry or that sector. So there are people who say, hey, we'll buy all those stocks on your behalf. And you just buy a share in us. In other words, we create a corporation, and you buy a share in our corporation, and the value of our corporation is a function of the value of all the stock that we own. These are called mutual funds. And they are, in a very real way, something everybody should know about and understand, because these mutual funds represent the system that the conservatives want to replace Social Security with. Keep in mind that right now the largest sector donating money to the Republican Party nationwide is the financial sector. The banks, and investment houses and mutual funds. They have outpaced the energy sector, which was the largest donor to the Bush administration's campaign in 2000. That was mostly big oil. Big oil got what they want. They got Iraq. And now it's big finance. And what they want is the more than $1 trillion. See, big oil got $1 trillion worth of oil. There's an estimated $1.6 to $2.5 trillion worth of oil in Iraq. And there's numbers all over the place, but those are often used. So they got their $1 trillion worth of oil for their multi-hundred million dollar investment in George Bush. Now the financial industry is investing a few $100 million in the Republicans, and they're expecting in exchange for that to get access to the more than $1 trillion in Social Security funds. Now look at what's happening here. This from the Financial Times, this article in the Financial Times. This is so important to understand what is going on, because this is the next, I'm telling you, this is the next thing on the agenda. They're doing the cosmetic dance right now. Oh, we're going to fix Medicare. Well, of course they're not. They're actually, you know, I've got a story for you on that in just a few minutes. But, you know, they're we're going to clean up the environment. And, of course, the Clear Sky Initiative is a giveaway to the polluting industries. But, you know, they've got their little cosmetic song and dance. And as Bernie Sanders said to me 2 weeks ago Friday, we had dinner, and he said, it was an event that we both had dinner at. And he said, Social Security, if we do nothing, absolutely nothing, will be solid for the next 35 years. There's no crisis in Social Security. But there are folks on the right, the corporate conservatives, the cheap labor cons, who want you to think that there is this desperate situation because they want to get that money in their hands. Now, why? So they can do the same thing that these folks do with these mutual. I mean, it's the same people. It's the exact same people. Here you got Elliot Spitzer. I mean, thank God we've got a politically climbing guy. I mean, I remember back when Rudy Giuliani was the prosecutor in New York City, and he wanted to run for mayor, and he started busting head shops, and he busted a head shop down in Lower Manhattan, got a couple of thousand packages of cigarette papers. I'm not exaggerating. Zigzag cigarette papers. He calculated that each one of, you know, there's a pack of cigarette papers has 100 papers in it, right? Or maybe it's 50. I don't know. I think it's 100. And so say there's 100 papers in there, and he figured that each one of these could be made into a joint, you know, into a marijuana cigarette, and that would have a street value of $5. And so each pack of cigarette papers represented $500 worth of potential marijuana cigarettes. So they busted this head shop. And they got a couple of cases of Zigzag cigarette papers, which you could also buy at 7-Eleven, but it wasn't a head shop. And Giuliani announces that he's busted a drug kingpin and seized millions of dollars worth of potential drug, I forget the phrase he used. It wasn't drug paraphernalia. It was something similar to that. So anyhow, Giuliani was, you know, doing this, and it got him elected mayor. Well, now we got Elliot Spitzer. He's got ambitions. He's the New York Attorney General, and he's going after these guys that the feds really should be going after, but the feds are in the back pocket of George Bush. I mean, you know, the SEC, they won't even investigate George Bush's insider trading. The only thing that the SEC, that the feds want to go after is Martha Stewart, right? Because that wasn't actually corporate corruption. That was an individual doing something wrong. What she did was the exact same thing George Bush did when he sold... when he did insider trading using insider knowledge and sold the stock in one of his oil companies just a month before it tanked. Well, she did the same thing, only he made hundreds of thousands of dollars. She made, what, $35,000, $40,000? Maybe it was $300,000. Anyhow, he made far more than she did. But, you know, that's ancient history, right? It was actually never investigated. The letter that they wrote that the Republicans say vindicate him actually says it doesn't vindicate him. But anyway, I digress. So the feds don't want to look into this. So we've got Elliot Spitzer, the New York Attorney General. He is looking into it because it's happening in his city. even though this is really federal territory that he should be looking at. And I got to tell you what Elliot Spitzer has discovered about the people who want to control your Social Security money. It is absolutely mind-boggling. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. The $7,000 billion U.S. mutual fund industry, that's $7 trillion, will face huge fines, as the Financial Times of London, to settle charges of trading abuses and other misconduct, U.S. regulators warned yesterday. Elliot Spitzer, New York Attorney General, said, quote, "This number will be big. It will impose pain, and it should." Earlier this year, Mr. Spitzer extracted a $1.4 billion settlement from Wall Street investment banks accused of research conflicts of interest. Remember that? Remember that the banks were they were issuing, you know, if you're a big investor or an institutional investor, if you're a Say you're the person who manages the stock portfolio for a university or for a local community or whatever, you know, or, you know, just some wealthy person who's got enough stock that you can afford to you know, that the big brokerage houses will pay attention to you. And they do this research and they say, well, it looks like this is a good stock and it doesn't look like this is a good stock. You ought to buy this one over here and look out for that one. That's no good. And it turns out that they were doing research in order to hype the stocks that they had an interest in. And, you know, people were getting burned. People were not getting good advice. People weren't getting honest advice. People were getting ripped off. So they paid $1.4 billion in fines on that. That was last year, or earlier this year. And now, at a Senate hearing in Washington, Mr. Spitzer and other regulators presented, again, reading here from the Financial Times report, FT.com, reported, where did it go here? Evidence of widespread misconduct, including trading abuses, unfair sales practices, and excessive fees. Senator Peter Fitzgerald says, unfortunately, the mutual fund industry has disintegrated into the world's largest skimming organization. And I'm telling you, it is the outspoken, out front, unabashed, absolute agenda of the cons in America for this industry that Elliot Spitzer is looking into right now to hold your Social Security money and be able to skim off the top just like they have been of America's investors. I mean, here we have a situation where since the 1930s, good, boring little bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. who are paid a civil service salary and who go to jail if they embezzle money, and therefore they don't, have been managing the Social Security Trust Fund in a nice, methodical, boring, predictable, safe fashion through my grandfather's generation, my father's generation, and my generation, and it's going to be solvent into my children's generation. And these corporate shill conservatives, so-called conservatives, who have just one single agenda, cheap labor and the promotion of corporations over the promotion of human beings, want to take that away from those nice, boring, methodical bureaucrats who are answerable to we the people, and put that cash, those trillions of dollars of Social Security money, into the hands of the bankers in New York City, who skim a little off the top and give it back to the good Republicans and the good conservative Democrats. It's outrageous. It's outrageous. 1-800-TALK-YES. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Exposing the con and conservative. This is Tom Hartman. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org. or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Some wild swine in Georgia are great guinea pigs, but less than desirable neighbors. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Spanish settlers brought pigs to an island off the coast of Georgia more than 400 years ago and raised them for food. The pigs on Ossabaw Island have been running loose ever since, and today people have mixed opinions about the animals. Some say they're a nuisance, others say they're a valuable resource for the study of human disease. Ilir Brisbane is an ecologist with the University of Georgia, and he's studied the feral pigs. He says they've developed a low-grade form of diabetes, and it helps them survive an unpredictable diet. Brisbane says the free-ranging pigs survive mainly on acorns. He says their metabolism lets them pile on fat to get through years when acorns are scarce. But he says the pigs don't show any sign of the cardiovascular problems that are typically linked with obesity.
And the question is, how are these pigs' circulatory systems, cardiovascular systems, how are they functioning out on the island when they get really fat and the acorns are falling? Why aren't they keeling over of heart attacks and strokes like people do when they get overweight and too much hardening of the arteries here?
Brisbane says answering these questions means studying the behavior of the pigs in the wild, not just in a lab. But he says the pigs are hard on the island environment. When acorns are scarce, they look for food in salt marshes. They tear up valuable habitat for shrimp, crabs, and oysters. They also destroy the nests of sea turtles. To protect the turtles, natural resource managers in Georgia shoot hundreds of the pigs every year. Brisbane talked about the difficulty of juggling environmental protection and medical research during a recent meeting of the Ecological Society of America. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday night on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I didn't fight for the Romans. I fought for the Christians in Greece. When Christians turned into crusaders, I prayed for the tribes to decrease. And I didn't fight for the Spanish, French, Portuguese, or Dutch. When their ships sailed into the Indies, I said, look, but do not touch. And I didn't fight for the English when the colonies had to go.
And welcome back, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Joe Wilson, I heard him speak last week at the Center for American Progress conference on American security, and co-sponsored by the Center for American Progress. And now yesterday he gave a speech. He noted that he used to be known as the last American diplomat to meet with Saddam Hussein. You will remember, Joe Wilson is our former ambassador to Iraq. Somehow that always gets, lost. Now, he says, he's known as the husband of the CIA agent who is outed by her own government. End quote. But then he makes the point, The person who decided they were going to make a political point at the expense of the national security of our country, that person or persons are still in place. And if they were willing to do that yesterday, what is to prevent them from doing it again? The difference right now, he points out, between the White House leaker and Robert Hansen, the FBI leaker, is that Robert Hansen is in jail for life, while the person who gave up my wife's name is still in office. And what does the President of the United States have to say about a traitor committing treason in the White House?
And I don't know. We're going to find out. The senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't know.
Okay, Richard Strong, Strong Mutual Funds, just admitted to skimming $600,000 from Rapid Trading, timing the trading, making $600,000 and sticking it in his own pocket. One of the more recent ones to fall as a result of Spitzer's investigations. Pat in Ohio has some thoughts on this. 1-800-TALK, yes, by the way, is our number. That's 1-800-825-5937. Hey, Pat, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was. I've got cable TV, and I was watching that liberal media the other night. And there's a
One was that?
I think this was MSNBC, and there's a show on called Kudlow and Kramer, and they have a wide range of opinion, all the way from right-wing to arch conservative.
And from right-wing to Mussolini.
Yeah, and they were talking about Spitzer, and he came on to the show, and he was labeled a lefty.
He's a Republican.
So that's where we're at today. Why isn't the federal government checking on these mutual funds? And where is the oversight committee? Then why does the Attorney General of New York have to get involved in this? And does that make any sense?
It's very easy to figure out, Pat. Once you understand one very simple dynamic, most of the people that you see on TV, most of the commentators, are multimillionaires, and most of the people that they're interviewing are multimillionaires. And the whole shtick here, the whole conservative agenda. Is there's really two parts of it. One is to convince average working people making under $250,000 a year, that somehow their interests are the same as those people who are making over $1 million a year. And there are actually some out there gullible enough to have sucked that down, right? And secondly, to then put into place a system where they define as their political agenda anything that's going to promote that's going to promote or work to the advantage of corporations, that is, corporations that, you know, the corporate form being something that's used to aggregate wealth. And as I've said many times in this program, I'm not opposed to corporations. I own one. I've started several of them over the years. I think, you know, corporations are just fine. But when they reach a certain size, they can become toxic without appropriate regulation. You have to have a mixed economy. You have to have a government that says, okay, you can play the game of business, but when you start doing it in a way that harms democracy or harms human beings, we're going to put some limits on that. That is a reasonable thing that first was put into place in the United States in 1784, back when Tench Coxe was first lobbying and got the first tariffs passed in the United States, and then Thomas Jefferson arguing for a constitutional, in the Bill of Rights, a constitutional ban on monopolies in commerce. We had the Sherman Antitrust Act passed on December 1st of 1881, banning monopolies. So anyhow, they get so large that they're toxic, and what's going on is that these so-called conservatives, that these corporate interests, and the shills for them, the mouthpieces for the very well paid, I mean, lawyer Rush Limbaugh making a couple $100 million, you know, in his last contract, and their mouthpieces on TV and on radio have taken up the position that to be conservative means to promote the interests of corporations. This is something that Dwight Eisenhower, who was a true conservative, warned against. It's something that Barry Goldwater would have been horrified by. So when you understand that these people aren't really conservatives, they're shills for corporations and for the extremely wealthy people who control corporations or who derive their wealth from corporations, then it all makes sense.
So in other words, your premise is sort of like this, that the average guy is being convinced that his interests are the same as those who actually own the wealth, sort of like, say, the Confederate Army kind of deal, right?
I don't get the
analogy. Well, 95% of, or 98% of the men that went and fought for the Confederacy didn't own property or slaves.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, and but you know, if that's a whole different argument because
well,
there,
the other thing
a
is too, it's this has been the thing of the right for a long time with talk radio, especially. Rush Limbaugh wanted to be the new Will Rogers, only you know supporting the overdog instead of the underdog, but. There was a great show on, this is about 30 years ago, one of the first times 60 Minutes came on, and they did an expose on Henry Lafayette Hunt, who was the richest man in the world at the time. And, for instance, during World War II, his oil wells alone produced more than the Axis in Japan. And this guy has just billions of dollars. And he used to have a right-wing radio show called, Henry Lafayette Hunt, some kind of Freedom Hour. It was all throughout the South. And anyway, this guy's philosophy, this is a man, the richest man in the world, was he was just a regular kind of guy.
Sure, that's the shtick. And they bring the social conservatives along with them, and they'll throw a bone. They'll say, oh, and by the way, we're opposed to abortion, and we think that Christianity is a good thing, and we think that people shouldn't be gay, and you know, I mean, they'll throw bones to people who have particular paranoias or fears or loves, and in order to bring them along, but they're like they consider them really useful idiots.
Well, we've got a lot of them in our town. I'm telling you.
Well, you know, it's really sad that the cons are laughing all the way to the bank as average working people are out there trying to defend them. You know, it's oh yes, I'm a Republican, yes indeed, I are. It's really tragic, and I don't think it's because people are stupid. I think it's because so much money is being spent by these folks. I mean, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars. You know, Rupert Murdoch creating faux news out of nothing and hiring Reagan's former main operative, Roger Ailes, to build the thing and run it. And you know, they do their memo every day with the talking points for the whole right-wing media thing. And there's just mind-boggling amounts of money being spent to change people's thinking, to influence people's thinking. And you know, it works. I mean, advertising works. If advertising didn't work, you wouldn't see ads.
Well, and it works better than, you know, when we think of extreme propaganda, we think of, well, Goebbels or Stalin or something. But really, that wasn't so much propaganda as it was censorship. See, what we have in this country is we float the premise that there's free speech, anybody can say anything, but let's look who's dominating the dialogue.
Yeah.
So
and,
there you
and,
go. That's the difference.
Right. And this gets back to the whole thing about where I was talking about. There are some things that are part of the commons. That is the stuff that we all share in common. And one of those is our airwaves. Our airwaves. And the rights of way, the street out in front of my house that the cable company strings its cable on. And in order to have access to those airwaves, in order to have access to that right of way to bring that cable signal into my house, traditionally, we, the people, said, hey, that's our commons. We own that road. We pay for it with our taxes. We maintain it. We own the airwaves. We own and we'll let you use them in exchange for some modicum of fairness and reasonableness, you know, the fairness doctrine, which I'm frankly ambivalent about. But it went beyond that. We used to have, you know, the networks and local television stations used to have local programming. They used to have community service programming. You used to have to have the presidential debates. Candidates had to have certain amounts of free airtime. All these were things that strengthened and encouraged democracy. And the conservative movement is anti-democratic. They don't want democracy. They don't want those debates. And so the whole mission was put this in the hands of private corporations where they can say, okay, the only way you can get your message out is if you have a lot of dollars to give to us, the media corporation. And by the way, we, the media corporation, will give you a few million dollars if you'll dance to our tune when it comes to congressional legislation. So, you know, that's what's going on, Pat. Pat, I got a couple more calls. Got to move on here. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Mike in Powder Springs, Georgia, is on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Get your thinking cap on here.
Okay.
I like your catchphrase, revealing the con of conservatives. I
gotta say, exposing,
revealing the demagoguery in Democrats.
Okay.
There's plenty of it there. Let's start with the stock issue, okay? What you're basically alleging here and alluding to is that all stockbrokers and anyone who's in the market are dirty.
No, I haven't said that.
Tom, that may not be what you're saying directly, but that is a message that you are sending, that anyone who invests in stocks and all your stockbrokers out there are somehow dirty. That's
no, I'm sorry, Mike. You're hallucinating. What I'm saying is that when you have...
I'm listening to your words, Tom. These are your words.
Mike, let me just lay it out for you real simply. It's just very straightforward. When you have a system in place that is designed first and foremost to generate profit and to reward individual initiative, which is a marvelous thing. I love to see that in small and medium-sized businesses across America. When you have a system that's in place doing that, and you hand to people in that system trillions of dollars, you are going to have thieves. It's going to happen. It doesn't mean everybody in the system is corrupt, but the system itself is corruptible. On the other hand, when you have a civil service system where you have people who are paid a regular salary in order to carefully administer funds, and if they screw up, they go to prison, you're not going to have thieves. Have you heard in the last 40, 50 years since the creation of Social Security of anybody going to jail for embezzling Social Security funds?
Well, Tom, there's probably still an ongoing investigation, and I just want to point something out to you. That is... No matter what you do, you're going to have thieves in any endeavor that humans get involved in. We are not perfect people or perfect entities, but we have what's called laws. And for your previous caller was mentioning, why isn't there some federal oversight? Because there doesn't need to be one. He said the state attorney general is arresting the guy who did it. Seems to me the state's got a pretty good handle on it. The next point I wanted to bring up there was this myth. It's the best way I can put it, and I'll use your word, your hallucination, that there is a right-wing media. What about the 400 or 450 or so NPR radio stations, ABC, NBC, and lastly CBS, which is an appropriate term because that's what you do see on there, is BS.
Mike, when was the last time, just tell me one time, when on an NPR station or ABC or CBS or NBC, you heard a commentator for 5 or 10 minutes continuously attack a Republican?
We have that station here in Atlanta called 90.1.
And who was doing the attacking, and what did they say?
They basically won, and basically we have two, actually. We have a 91.3 here in Atlanta on the FM side. And basically it is a whole show dedicated like yours. I can listen to your exact same message funded on the public airways. It's all about how the stockbrokers are evil. There's this corporate mentality.
I think that's great. What's the name of the program?
All things considered, they're 3 hours.
Yeah. Mike, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. There are limits to reality here. David in San Francisco is on the line. Hey, David, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. That takes a second here to switch. I'm sorry, Char. I shouldn't have done that so fast there. Mike is gone and David's in. Hey, David, welcome to the welcome back.
Yeah, hi, Tom. It does crack you up to imagine the preposterousness of some of this stuff. Have you noticed the new story about the Jessica Lynch incident?
Not sure what you're referring to.
In other words, the witnesses that are dying. Of course, Jessica Lynch was that so-called hero. In the early days of the war, she was ambushed, they said, and in the blaze of firefight,
she took a bullet and all that stuff. Yeah, we all know that story got shall we say blown out of proportion. Are you talking about the three guys who rescued her who have died now? It's now four.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know if there was a fourth. Maybe it's three who helped in the rescue and a fourth person who was in the unit that was not involved in the firefight. But, yeah, there are four people now that are dead in a two-week span that were involved in her deal. Now, the thing that catches my attention about this is, they're going to have a movie about her. And, by the way, this was not overstated. This was an outright lie. I mean, they claimed that she was in a firefight, that she was ambushed.
I remember it all, David.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
In case the other listeners aren't aware of this, they claimed that she grabbed a submachine gun from one of her buddies who got hit, and that she fought like a she-cat and carried on until she was hit, and then they stabbed her, and somehow she ended up in a hospital where she was tortured and abused and God knows, and so our famous U.S. troops went in and rescued her, right? Well, it turns out it was a complete hoax. She was in a car wreck. She was knocked unconscious. She may have been found by civilians and taken to the hospital. It's unclear how she got to the hospital, but she was definitely not.
David, we got about 30 seconds left here.
Well, essentially, somebody has put together a movie that, and they put together millions of dollars to put together a movie that keeps the lie going. So
yeah, I know,
and while
the cons are out there getting CBS to pull the Reagan movie because it's not historically accurate in their opinion, nobody's saying word one about this one.
They're spending money to make a lie, and they're killing witnesses. These people are playing for keeps.
Yeah, it may well be. It's a little too scary to contemplate. David, thank you for the call. I'll do a little more research on that. We'll get back to it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling spotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on the fresh-baked baguette. All with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board. The doorbell rang, and I answered the door. Just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush, what a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah's Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Broadcasting. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network, live coast to coast, border to border. Jeff is on the line. He's called 1-800-TALK-YES. Hey, Jeff, you know, just to finish up this thing, Prudential Securities apparently is going to face the hammer today under Mr. Spitzer. It'll be interesting to see what's going on, but I think you wanted to talk about NPR. Welcome, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Just the caller, Mike, I guess his name, needed a response. If he thinks that NPR is liberal, I don't think he's ever met a liberal or heard a liberal. NPR.
Yeah, well, he's listening to me, which I appreciate. I always appreciate it when Mike calls.
But you call yourself the radical middle.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever that means. I mean, you know, defining terms is pretty difficult.
Exactly, and that's, what, to me, the major problem. We've got to get rid of the labels and see what people are actually saying.
Yeah.
But I just did a quick search on NPR's site for All Things Considered for Heritage Foundation and found 73 references. And you find probably about every week and a half they have a commentator from the Heritage Foundation on. They have people all the time from right-wing, acknowledged right-wing think tanks and so forth, as consultants and commentators. But you never hear people like Noam Chomsky and so forth.
Right.
Yeah,
that was the point. I mean, it was a shame because I was hoping that Mike actually had. I do know of one public radio station up in Minnesota that's got one guy on who does a 1-hour show in the evening because I was a guest on his program when Unequal Protection first came out, and he does a liberal talk show on a local NPR station, but it's the only one I know of in the whole United States.
Yeah.
There are, you know, of the Pacifica, there are some Pacifica stations.
And you listen to Neil Conan on NPR with Talk the Nation. I do not consider him liberal at all. And
nice.
You hear all over the place. To me, NPR tends to lean more toward the conservative end, but not that much. They do try hard to be balanced.
Yeah, and that's their mandate, is to be balanced.
Yes.
I mean, that's the whole thing of having government funded to the extent that it is, or publicly funded.
Yeah, the only more balanced form is C-SPAN.
Yeah, there you go. Jeff, thanks for the comment. Thanks for the call. Always appreciated. Integrity and passion in broadcasting truth. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27,
$350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The Daily Variety reported on Monday that CBS is considering canceling or postponing its upcoming miniseries, The Reagans. The director of the four-hour TV movie, Robert Alan Ackerman, may ask the Directors Guild of America to remove his name from the movie in protest and has quit the production over creative differences with CBS executives, who he said have insisted on many last-minute alterations to the miniseries. Neither producers for the two-part film, slated to air November 16th and 18th, nor Ackerman's representative could immediately be reached for comment. CBS will decide soon whether to pull the miniseries from the network's November schedule altogether and possibly reschedule it for a later date once satisfied with the final edits. Uncertified software may have been installed on electronic voting machines used in one California county, according to the Secretary of State's office. Mark Correll, Assistant Secretary of State for Policy and Planning, told attendees Thursday at a panel meeting on voting systems that California was halting the certification process for new voting machines manufactured by Diebold Election Systems until the Secretary of State's office can investigate the matter. Correll mentioned discovery of disconcerting information that Diebold may have installed uncertified software on its touchscreen machines used in one county, which was later revealed to be Alameda County. Diebold officials who were attending the meeting seemed surprised by the announcement and expressed displeasure to several panelists afterwards that it had been introduced in a public forum. The UN's top nuclear weapons inspector Monday called on the United States to provide his agency with a copy of a classified American report on Iraq's banned weapons and to allow his inspectors to return to Iraq. If there are weapons, we would like to find them. If there are no weapons, we would like to conclude the issue, said Mohammed El-Baradei, Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency. They owe us the classified version. He reiterated that the United States, like all UN member states, is obliged under the terms of Security Council resolutions to provide his agency with information that advances its knowledge of Iraq's past nuclear ambitions. More news after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Hundreds of Tanzanians flock to the country's annual goat races, a charity event pitting 60 of the beasts in a series of heats before they are slaughtered. Most of the goats end up in the oven after the competition to raise money for water and farming projects, but the winners get the chance to decide their goat's fate. Roasted goat meat is a popular food in Tanzania, where many people scratch out a living as peasant farmers in one of the world's poorest countries.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Sometimes I miss the old days. Remember back when war profiteering actually was thought to be a bad thing? Indeed, Harry Truman considered it treason. But hey, that's so old school. In these modern times of corporate coziness with Washington, war profiteering is business as usual, just another of the entitlements that flow from corporate campaign contributions. And far from denouncing it, top officials applaud it, ably assist it, and even become profiteers themselves. Dick Halliburton Cheney, for example, is the poster boy of the ever-revolving door between the Pentagon and war profiteers. But now, multi-billion dollar profiteering by such names as Halliburton, Bechtel, and Boeing has become such a booming business that a new kind of corporate consultant has sprung up, profiteering facilitator. These are political insiders who use their Washington connections to help paying clients get fat government contracts from us taxpayers to do this or that in Iraq. Many of these boondoggles are awarded out of the political offices of the White House and Pentagon with no competitive bids and little or no congressional oversight. Among the profiteering facilitators to set up shop is Joe Albaugh, a longtime Texas political crony of George W.'s who was appointed honcho of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Now, Joe has spun through the government's revolving door to open New Bridge Strategies, getting huge fees paid by corporations that want Joe's guidance on getting a piece of that $87 billion that the Bushites are dumping into Iraq this year. Of course, facilitators like Joe see no ethical conflict in profiteering on their connections. Albaugh has proven to be ethically clueless, saying, "Because my friend is President of the United States, I'm supposed to check out of life?" This is Jim Hightower saying, "No, Joe, just check out of being a corrupt pig."
So if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, friends. Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border. We are very fortunate in this next segment here to have with us Peter Hart, who is the author of The O'Reilly Factor, Unspinning Fox News Channel's Bill O'Reilly. A remarkable book. Peter is in charge of media activism and administration of fairness and accuracy in reporting. FAIR, FAIR.org is their website. He's also a co-host and producer for FAIR's radio show Counterspin. His new book is The O'Reilly Factor, Unspinning Fox News Channel's Bill O'Reilly. And Peter, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
My pleasure to be here, Tom.
Peter, I am just amazed by this book. First of all, I just have to tell our listeners, I mean, this is... When I was going through this book, I was, let's find a couple of little factoids that demonstrate what's going on. And it's just, there's so much. It's just, it's overwhelming, O'Reilly versus O'Reilly. I've got the stats right here. O'Reilly plays the numbers. O'Reilly's paranoia, the world against Bill. O'Reilly's roots, or Bill goes to war. One of the things that really... I think illustrates it. Let me just play a little clip here from Bill O'Reilly and Terry Gross, and then I'd like you to tell us your thoughts about in this chapter here, O'Reilly's paranoia, the world against Bill. Is this a demonstration of this, perhaps? Here's Bill O'Reilly and Terry Gross.
Did you challenge him on what he said?
We had a different interview.
Yeah, a different interview. Okay, fine. Fresh air. Is this what fresh air is? I'll get a transcript of this interview. You want me of the Al Franken interview? You want me to do that and compare
you're
the
welcome.
Two?
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And compare
to.
The two.
You're
all right. Why don't
welcome.
You tell your listeners right now? Were you as tough on Al Franken as you are on me?
No.
No, you
I wasn't.
Okay. Why?
Well, Al Franken had written a book.
This is just the classic bully technique.
Which
here.
Satire now was it? Calling people liars and distorting their faces on the book cover. That's satire now, is it?
And, of course, it goes on and on and on. That's it. What's your take on this, Peter?
Let's not play too much of that for your audience.
Yeah.
We don't want them to turn off the radio. This is, as you said, this is sort of typical O'Reilly. He does have critics, and when critics are given an opportunity to say anything about him, he really loses it. And the problem with this interview, I think, was not that Terry Gross was too tough, but that was the way O'Reilly interpreted it, that it was a smear job, a hatchet job by NPR. And he took off on the interview and ended up, spending a few nights on his show talking about cutting the funding for National Public Radio and public broadcasting, talking about, again, how this proves how NPR are all left-wingers. This is resentment of people to O'Reilly's left is really the driving force behind the show. And I think it's no surprise that he concluded that NPR was unfair to him. It's just like he used to complain that NPR hadn't ever interviewed him, which was false, which is something we put in the book. It's just like when he said the Orange County Register dropped his column because he was too pro-war. The Orange County Register is a conservative paper, has plenty of pro-war critics. They dropped his column because they didn't think it was any good, which is different. But this is what O'Reilly kind of feeds on and what he regurgitates and feeds to his audience. This sense that this guy is the only one telling the truth, and there are these other powerful forces in the media who are trying to shut him down, be they Terry Gross or Al Franken.
Yeah, and in fact, he had this whole thing. I've got this one. This only runs 5 seconds or 6 seconds here, but this thing about Harper's Magazine. I mean, this sounded to me like paranoia. I mean, here it's
this is basically an unfair interview designed to try to trap me into saying something that Harper's can use.
And what's that about?
Harper's, a couple of months ago, ran a transcript of O'Reilly's interview with Jeremy Glick, whose father died on September 11th in the World Trade Center, but who opposed the war in Afghanistan and, more importantly, opposed the war in Iraq. O'Reilly had him on the show and did really a vicious, despicable interview, which he eventually cut off early, saying he wasn't going to dress him down anymore out of respect for Glick's father. Harper's didn't do anything tricky or trap anyone. They reprinted the transcript of the interview, and any decent person can read that and come to his
just
or her
a straight
own conclusion.
Read. No commentary, just a straight
yeah,
read.
Just a straight yeah. transcript, for anyone who had the misfortune of seeing it. It wasn't doctored or anything, but O'Reilly repeating O'Reilly's own words is somehow sometimes the most effective way of criticizing him.
And this demonstrates in his mind that A, they're out to get him, and the B, that Terry Gross is part of the conspiracy.
I think so. I think he did the NPR interview knowing that there was going to be something he wasn't going to like. People should remember that he quit the interview near the very end, and since he used it as this kind of rally around Bill item on his show, not surprising. But this is the way he works. Whether it's Bill Moyers who's criticizing, whether it's Al Franken who's criticizing him, in which case that could land you in court with a lawsuit alleging that you infringed on Fox's copyright. I think he deals with critics harshly when he chooses to respond to them at all, and I think tends to blow the criticisms way out of proportion. The idea that Terry Gross was unfair to him, I think, is laughable to anyone who listened to that interview or anyone who listens to Terry Gross. It's just not her style. She's not exactly a pit bull. She asked him questions about things that were on the record, and that was too much for him.
Yeah, and I should note, by the way, that I play these clips with the permission of her producer. One of the things that concerned me was that rather than defending one of his top shows, NPR's ombudsman reprimanded Terry Gross for this interview that we just heard a little piece of. And, predictably, O'Reilly's website is using that
quote, admission, end quote, as fodder to try to hurt NPR even more. Is there something about the right's bullying tactics that make even balanced news question their own judgments?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I think we have a current example of it now with the administration complaining to no end that the media are filtering out all the good news in Iraq, and you're only hearing about casualties, and you're not hearing about the schools being open and the hospitals being open and whatnot. That is a classic technique by the right, to complain and complain about the media. The idea is not that there's a legitimate complaint with Iraq. I think it's absolutely false, and the criticism is completely without merit. The idea is to plant in journalists the idea that maybe they're not giving that side, and to give some ground in the future that might explain what happened at NPR. But I think the ombudsman, Jeffrey Dworkin, just reached a bizarre conclusion in that case, where he did say, and you know, this is a direct quote, that Terry Gross's questions were pointed from the beginning. Now, if asking pointed questions of a guest is something that you should be ashamed of, or something you should be reprimanded for at NPR, then they have a problem. And it's not about Terry Gross, it's not about Bill O'Reilly. There's an institutional problem there if that's something that journalists should not be doing.
Particularly of a guest who makes his living on the pointed edge. I mean, it's sort of like if you're going to talk to somebody about dogs, you ask questions about dogs. If you're going to talk to somebody about, you know, rhetorical excesses, and that's how they make their living, you ask questions about the rhetorical excesses. Well, and now we're seeing CBS caving into. Now some are suggesting that O'Reilly has led this. I don't watch O'Reilly's show, so I don't know. But has he been leading this charge to get this Reagan miniseries pulled?
Absolutely, he does it in his typical sort of clever style. In that it's not his own project, but it's something he's vigorously supporting and promoting through his show. There's a number of segments that have been done since this broke via the Drudge Report and the New York Times. And O'Reilly's probably hasn't gone a day or two without mentioning it or without reporting on it or doing an update. And his position is that the folks out there in the red states won't tolerate this, and they're going to boycott CBS, which, you know, if you remember from my book, O'Reilly has kind of a back and forth on whether or not he supports boycotts or leads boycotts or condemns them. He condemns them when he doesn't like them, and he initiates them when he likes them. But if you ask him, he doesn't support the idea of boycott. So very confusing, but on the other hand, not terribly confusing. O'Reilly likes boycotts when he supports them. And in this case, I think he does support the idea that CBS should pull this made-for-TV movie, which seems like what they're doing today.
Yeah, that's the news story. We're talking with Peter Hart, who's in charge of media activism and administration at Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, www.fair.org, and the author of The O'Reilly Factor, Unspinning Fox News Channel's Bill O'Reilly. Peter, so many questions come to mind. One, of course, has O'Reilly gone after you? I mean, here's this, and probably wouldn't it be wonderful? Here's this book with him on the cover, and it's just this catalog of misstatements and lies and twistings of reality and confusion, and then the corollary question that I have to that is, you know, is it really fair on your part to be going after a guy who basically is just—it's just entertainment? I mean, or does O'Reilly try to position himself as news?
O'Reilly has responded to different stories that Fair has done about himself and about Fox. I was on the show to talk about whether or not Bill O'Reilly was a conservative. The idea Fox was something that Fair was studying at the time, and we came to the conclusion, not surprising to anyone who watches it, that Fox was generally conservative and O'Reilly, their number one show, was certainly coming from a conservative standpoint. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but that Fox was being deceptive about its own political bent and was kind of concealing it under all of these marketing slogans and whatnot. So I was actually on the show to talk about that. Since then, I haven't been on to talk about O'Reilly, though we've issued some criticisms of him since then. Well, a couple weeks ago, we pointed out that O'Reilly made a factual error on his show. It was a he was trying to make a point about the L.A. Times being biased
against
Schwarzenegger.
With Arnold and Clinton,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And said, you know, they would never send, or they did not send teams of reporters down to Arkansas to investigate Clinton's problems
right.
with women.
In fact, they did. Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, they were one of the first mainstream outlets to do that. And O'Reilly has responded by telling letter writers that you have to stay off the left-wing websites, which is a veiled reference to our website.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The man behind the curtain. Today, here is Peter Hart, author of The O'Reilly Factor. Peter, with Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, www.fair.org. We'll be back with our conversation with Peter in just a moment. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. We'll be right back.
Looking for a different way to get relief from sore muscles or achy joints? Now you can get fast, targeted relief from a name you trust. Try New Bear Muscle and Joint Cream. It targets the pain precisely. Just rub it in right where it hurts. New Bear Muscle and Joint Cream actually increases circulation at the site of pain to soothe that achy soreness fast. Take aim at the pain with a name you trust. Try New Bear Muscle and Joint Cream and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire grilled chicken, fire roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on a fresh baked baguette. All with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Dermarest, the psoriasis solution, asks,
what's complete freedom? For me, it's an open road with the top down. It's my bare arms getting warmed by the sun. It's my bare arms without a trace of psoriasis.
Complete freedom, brought to you by the complete relief of Dermarest psoriasis. Unlike brands which only relieve itching and inflammation, Dermarest psoriasis also removes the embarrassing scales, allowing healthy skin to grow.
Healthy skin? That's complete freedom.
Dermarest, the psoriasis solution.
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Brian and Amy decided to sell their home, someone was there to make sure that things went smoothly. Someone was there to help them see it through a buyer's eyes. Someone was there to help price it, show it, close it. And when Brian and Amy found the house they wanted to buy, someone else helped them get through that process just as smoothly.
Congratulations, we did it.
If you're thinking about selling your home, work with someone who work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life. Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them, they are jailed, in some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George, God has been talking to me. God told me, not you, God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
So they're coming to take me away.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Songs that sell soap and sell cars and sell lifestyles. Anthems of freedom now, corporate Sieg Heils. Songs that bring back all those sweet memories. Thanks Mitsubishi and who needs trees? When I'm downsized, lost my health care, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite songs, and then I don't feel so bad about ads.
Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking this hour with Peter Hart, who is the author of The O'Reilly Factor. If you have a question for Peter or want to talk about Bill O'Reilly and or Peter's book, The O'Reilly Factor, Unspinning Fox News Channel's Bill O'Reilly, or about fairness and accuracy in reporting, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And I encourage you to call if you have thoughts, questions, something like that. Peter, I just off topic just for a moment here. Your bio says that you're also the co-host and producer of Fair's radio show Counterspin. This show is literally heard from coast to coast. We are on from California to North Carolina, coast to coast, border to border, on terrestrial radio stations, nationally syndicated. And there are other liberal talk shows. In fact, this entire network, IE America Radio Network, which is owned by the United Auto Workers, they put millions of dollars into it. There is actually a liberal talk radio network in existence. And it baffles me. You've got a radio show. I'd like you to tell us a little bit about that. And I know that Fair is doing this show, and so you guys have got a show. There's other shows out there, and I keep reading in like the New York Times that there's no liberal media out there. What's going on?
I think they're kind of comparing Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, that level of exposure to anything comparable from the left. And you know, if you compare the two in terms of audience and prominence that they're given in the rest of the media, the Limbaughs and the Hannitys and the O'Reillys of the world do tend to drown out the voices on the left side. I think what is interesting is that the conversation usually just catalogs all the failures. So you see this rundown, and it's in almost every article. You'll see Mario Cuomo failed, Jim Hightower failed, Phil Donahue failed on TV, and it's sort of the quick history of liberal failures on radio or on television, without noting any of the, I think, what might be called successes, or even acknowledging that something like IE America exists.
Yeah, I mean, this network has 125 affiliates, stations.
You would get the impression that you turned on Fox News Channel in 1996 and they were immediately successful, everyone watched, and the ratings were sky high. Completely untrue. Yeah. What they did was they stuck around for years, and they had the backing, which is most importantly the financial backing, of Rupert Murdoch, who wanted this channel politically to stay on the air, who would lose money in the hopes that the message would get through. And I think that's what the right is able to often do. So the stories about where the left-wing media is and why there are no liberals on talk radio, I usually have a number of problems with them. The first is the failure to acknowledge that the alternatives exist. The second, I think, is to fail to acknowledge that advertisers and owners are often very nervous about some of this content, and they're much less likely to put it on. They're much more likely to put on an out-and-out bigot like Michael Savage, because they know that there's an audience that will tune in and they can sell ad time. And I think that says something about commercial mainstream media, those kind of ideas are acceptable and you know, are promoted.
Yeah, and it's a kind of a tragic point. We are finding sponsors who are interested in promoting liberal talk radio, and this show has been growing. We started this show in April. I mean, I've been in radio since 1968, but we started this progressive talk show back in April, and it has grown. I mean, we're picking up stations every week or so. And I'm hearing this from all over the country. Is, you know, other, you know, local shows and little networks, 3, 4, 5 shows here. And when we come back from this news break, I'd like you to tell us about your program, Farrah's radio show, Counterspin. And then let's get back into the O'Reilly Factor here as we wrap up this interview. We're talking with Peter Hart, the author of The O'Reilly Factor, Unspinning Fox News Channel's Bill O'Reilly, an extraordinary book. You got to go out and get a copy. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Some wild swine in Georgia are great guinea pigs, but less than desirable neighbors. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Spanish settlers brought pigs to an island off the coast of Georgia more than 400 years ago and raised them for food. The pigs on Ossabaw Island have been running loose ever since, and today people have mixed opinions about the animals. Some say they're a nuisance, others say they're a valuable resource for the study of human disease. Ilir Brisbane is an ecologist with the University of Georgia, and he's studied the feral pigs. He says they've developed a low-grade form of diabetes, and it helps them survive an unpredictable diet. Brisbane says the free-ranging pigs survive mainly on acorns. He says their metabolism lets them pile on fat to get through years when acorns are scarce. But he says the pigs don't show any sign of the cardiovascular problems that are typically linked with obesity.
And the question is, how are these pigs' circulatory systems, cardiovascular systems, how are they functioning out on the island when they get really fat and the acorns are falling? Why aren't they keeling over of heart attacks and strokes like people do when they get overweight and too much hardening of the arteries here?
Brisbane says answering these questions means studying the behavior of the pigs in the wild, not just in a lab. But he says the pigs are hard on the island environment. When acorns are scarce, they look for food in salt marshes. They tear up valuable habitat for shrimp, crabs, and oysters. They also destroy the nests of sea turtles. To protect the turtles, natural resource managers in Georgia shoot hundreds of the pigs every year. Brisbane talked about the difficulty of juggling environmental protection and medical research during a recent meeting of the Ecological Society of America. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome Welcome back. You're in the no spoon feeding zone. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Peter Hart, author of The Oh Really Factor, unspinning Fox News Channel's Bill O'Reilly. And Peter is also with FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. And Peter, I wanted to get into a question about your radio show, and then I got a couple more questions about your book. But first, we've got a caller on the line. Armin in Florida is on the line. Armin, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Thank you for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Thank you very much for allowing me to get on the program. Your guest, I'd like to make a comment, if I may, Mr. Hart. It's obvious that, first off, you have to realize that the playing field's not even close to being fair, you know, or level. And the odds are absolutely overwhelmingly in opposition to a contrary point of view, even if it has more truth in it and benefit for the majority of the people and, you know, and the destiny of the populace in question.
You're talking, Armin, about why there's so much right-wing media out there?
Well, it's right. It's you know, basically, our socially, I think speaking, our culture has become just another word, maybe you could think of a better one, is just a blind capital society. And the other media out there, the right-wing media, is my God, it's so overwhelmingly, the odds are in its favor because the techniques that they use, very basic, that I try to explain to people at the water cooler, so to speak, are people that are programmed or brainwashed by the other networks, is I tell them that when we have a conversation, regardless of the politics or whatever, we're painting a mental picture in each other's minds. And what they've used to deceive the people and unfairly and unjustly and pay their paymasters or corporate blind capital paymasters, and to heck with the culture, has been half the story, which is only 500 words if a full story is 1,000.
Yeah. Got it. Armin, I have to interrupt you here. Is there a question in there?
Well, it's just...
For Peter.
Is there a question in there?
Did you call with a question for Peter?
Well, I just... how does he think, you know, with the way the system's going, you know, how are we going to overcome this when basically we're dealing with a capitalistic censored media that has an obvious agenda? And a lot of us don't feel it's in our best interest, and I think any reasonable person that would sit down and discuss it would agree with that. It's a very difficult situation.
So how do we deal with it?
Does he see that we're going to get out of this? Because we've got all these bought and paid for, you know, media prostitutes telling half the story.
I got it, Armin. I appreciate the call. Peter, what you know, Armin raises a good point, and it's one that is commonly put out there, is that the corporate media, certainly Fox, I mean, you know, with the memo, and I'd like to talk about that too with you if you have a second, has an agenda. But I also hear from I was at the Talkers Magazine convention in New York a couple of months ago, and the vice president Gabe Hobbs, the vice president of talk programming at Clear Channel, gave one of the addresses, and he said that he was looking for liberal programming. He said, you know, this, you know, we're in the business to make money. We're not in the business to promote an agenda. And I, you know, a good chunk of me believes him. What do you think is going on here?
I think you're right to believe him. I think the caller points out something that's true. Commercial interests are dominant in the media, and they dominate what decisions are made and who gets on the air and who doesn't. There has been a kind of a conventional wisdom in the media that, A, there isn't an audience for contrary programming, liberal programming, left programming, whatever you want to call it, and B, there's a conscious understanding that advertisers are going to be more wary of that kind of content. So if you are in the business to make money, and you say, whether you work at Clear Channel or Premier Radio Networks, that you're just in the business to make money, you don't care about politics, you have to understand that the system that you work in, the commercially driven system, is naturally going to be more wary of a talk show host who's talking about corporate abuses, corporate power, than they are going to be wary of a talk show host who openly espouses racist views, tells people to shut up, is uncivil and unkind. The idea is that commercialism is not going to filter that out. Commercial interests are going to be happy with that kind of show, so they'll be happy to underwrite it. They might not be as happy to underwrite a show that might question corporate abuses, corporate power, pollution, the degradation of the environment, things like that. So I think the caller is right, and I think you're right that commercial interests do carry the day. But I think there's a political component to that, and we shouldn't divorce the two ideas. I think they're connected.
Yeah. Well, and this is where, particularly with the media, I mean, Alexis de Tocqueville, back in 1834, as I recall, when he wrote Democracy in America, his summary chapter of the book is titled What Democracies Have to Fear, and he talks about this future time that he sees with trembling, where Americans have been basically taken over by a media, and it's really rather prescient a chapter, and a rather chilling chapter, given when it was written. And for a long time we said, hey, if the media wants to operate, if they want to play the game of commerce in our society, then there are certain rules that they have to play by in order to maintain a free press, that newspapers can't form into monopolies, that radio stations have to give equal time to political views of opposite sides, that, you know, and all these kinds of things. And this has all been kind of blown out of the water, will it come back, you know, and will commercial interest have they? Anyway, we could go on about this forever.
Sure.
I've got a couple other callers here. I got Chris in California, Steve in Minnesota. Chris in California, 1-800-TALK. Yes, thanks for calling. You're on the air with Peter Hart and Tom Hartman.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. My question, I think, was just answered, but my question was born of an observation between the difference between progressive talk radio, namely the IE network, and conservative talk radio. You never hear voiceover commercials on IE Radio Network. You know, I never hear your voice telling me to buy something unless it's your book.
Whereas actually, you will soon. We just picked up a sponsor that you're going to hear me doing an endorsement for next week.
Okay, well,
there
we go.
Company.
All righty.
Yeah, and we've got, you know, the Organic Wine Company is going to be sponsoring the show next week, and also Small Dog Electronics, a Mac dealer. And, you know, if you're a Mac user, give them a call and say hi, and that you're pleased to know that they're going to be working with us. So yeah, there are sponsors out there, and frankly, I don't think that it has to do with politics. It has to do with the fact that we're delivering a product, a talk radio program, to people all across the country, and people are listening and they're responding, and our sponsors are getting results. So, Chris, thanks for the call, and I appreciate the comment. Did you want to comment on that, Peter, before we go to Steve in Minnesota?
The idea, I think, is you're correct that you're finding sponsors, and there's an audience that they're now aware of, and I think it's because they were reticent that people who wanted to hear this kind of program just didn't exist, and I think they thought that because that opportunity rarely comes up in commercial media. So now it's coming up, and suddenly shows like this and, you know, I think the Al Franken book and Joe Connison book, things like that, are demonstrating that there is an audience for some of these critical ideas that commercial interest didn't think was there.
Oh, yeah, and I think that we also have to give Amy Goodman credit. I mean, Democracy Now! Is on over 150 stations, I think, across the country. It's not commercial radio, but it's incredible growth over the last 2 years. It's really demonstrated a hunger for this kind of media.
Sure.
And we still haven't heard about your radio show, but let's get Steve's call in here, and then we can talk about that. Steve in Minnesota is on the line with a question for Peter Hart of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Steve, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, actually, that question is for you, Tom. You had mentioned you would talk to someone from Clear Channel, and they said they weren't opposed to liberal media.
Well, this program is actually carried by at least one Clear Channel station that I know of.
Well, I mean, for example, Randy Rhodes, they'll carry her.
She's on Clear Channel.
They won't syndicate her.
Well, you know, I don't know if that's – I don't know the details of that. I do know that Randy Rhodes is now in syndication. It was just about 2 weeks ago, there was an announcement in the trade press in Talkers Magazine about how the Randy Rhodes show is now available for syndication. In fact, I called up the guy that's syndicating her, and sure enough, it's happening. So her show is getting out there.
She said Clear Channel gave her permission to syndicate, but they would not promote her or put her on any of their other stations.
Yeah, well, that may well be, but I don't think the Clear Channel is syndicating anybody. There's a separate syndication company, Premier, which Clear Channel owns a piece of, I believe, which syndicates Rush Limbaugh and so on. But I don't think, I could be wrong, Peter probably knows this better than I, but I don't think the Clear Channel itself does syndication. Peter?
I think they own Premier outright. I think they might be
the
sole owner, but I'm not positive. But it seems like that was part of one of the deals they made. So I think they might be the sole force behind that, but I could be wrong. You know. But I know they're involved in it. Premier syndicates Limbaugh, and I want to say Don Imus, but I'm not certain about that. There's another.
Limbaugh,
I actually know
a few others.
It's Dr. Laura and Rush are the two big ones.
Yeah, and I think they have Dr. Dean Adell on there as
well. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, Steve, thanks for the call. Peter, tell us about your radio show.
The radio show is called Counterspin. It's syndicated on about 130 stations around the United States and Canada, and people can find out more about it at our website, fair.org. The idea is it's a weekly show, and it takes a look behind the headlines of the mainstream news, stories that are undercovered, and stories that we think the media are not doing such a good job of. We talk to journalists and activists and academics, authors, people who are watching the media the same way we do and have some thoughts on how big stories of the day are being covered.
You're in. Okay, great. And getting back to your book, The O'Reilly Factor, Unspinning Fox News Channel's Bill O'Reilly. We're talking with Peter Hart. Bill, Peter, give us a couple of examples of O'Reilly concocting evidence on his show.
Sure. I think there are examples large and small almost every night, but for example, O'Reilly wanted to marshal some evidence in support of his boycott of French goods during the Iraq War. So he said that the French were untrustworthy on a number of things, including the war in Kosovo. He said the French didn't support the U.S. bombing, the NATO bombing in Kosovo. In fact, the French participated in it. They were the second largest air force behind the United States, so they weren't opposed to it. When O'Reilly was looking for evidence that the Founding Fathers wanted to found a country based in a Judeo-Christian belief system, he found what seemed to be a very persuasive speech given by Thomas Jefferson. Unfortunately, there's no evidence that Jefferson ever gave or wrote the speech. O'Reilly, when the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals declared that having students say the Pledge of Allegiance was requiring them to do so was unconstitutional, he said that he called the judges on that court pinheads and said the only reason they're there is because they're nominated by liberal politicians. In fact, the person who wrote that decision was nominated by that notorious liberal Richard Nixon. This is the kind of stuff that you see time and again on the O'Reilly Factor, and it just pays to be skeptical of the arguments that he's making, and more importantly, the justifications he's giving for those arguments.
But at some level, Peter Hart, isn't it all just about the show?
I think so. I think, you know, that explains his appeal. But for the moment, at least, O'Reilly is on a news channel. He considers himself a journalist. So we think it's important to grade him as you would grade any journalist. That's the trick. You know, Rush Limbaugh can kind of have one foot in and one foot out and claim that he's an entertainer when he doesn't want to be held accountable for what he says. O'Reilly hasn't done that to that extent yet. He wants to be considered a journalist. He's on a news channel, and he identifies himself as such. So I think it's important to hold him to those standards.
Yeah. And getting into that, you know, O'Reilly's characterization of himself in his supposed working class background, you know, it seems so fragile. I mean, it's like a crucial marketing strategy for his persona, for his program. And when anybody questions it, he gets very reactive. And it's become almost cartoonish in the way he keeps trying to prove that he grew up poor. I mean, talk to us about this.
Yeah, and I think this is the root of what gets him so angry about Al Franken. But O'Reilly has crafted this sort of persona where, you know, driving a used car up until this day is out of touch with the liberal elites. You know, has nothing to do with them. Grew up working class in Levittown, which is a suburb of New York City out on Long Island. This is the persona that O'Reilly relies on because it's important to his approach to his own show. This is exactly what O'Reilly wants to be portrayed as. And as you dig a little deeper and probe the question, you realize that O'Reilly went to private schools all his life. According to one journalist who interviewed his mother, they didn't grow up in Levittown. They grew up in Old Westbury, which is slightly more upscale. And, you know, generally he had a middle-class background, and his parents provided him with a private school education his whole life. This isn't a working-class upbringing. As Michael Kinsley pointed out, you'd be hard pressed to argue that the son of an accountant for an oil company is growing up working class. But O'Reilly's appeal depends on portraying himself as somebody outside the mainstream who's vilified and attacked by elites inside the mainstream media. And it's kind of bizarre given that his position now is a full-fledged member of the mainstream media elite.
Yeah, and no doubt a multimillionaire as a consequence of it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Can you explain O'Reilly's, we've got about a minute left here, O'Reilly's obsession with Jesse Jackson? One out of 12 shows between 1998 and 2001 featured a segment on Jesse Jackson. What's the deal?
I think O'Reilly and Fox know that they need to give their audience something that they're going to get passionate about. You mentioned the memo. Other producers at Fox News have talked about feeding the core, knowing that your core audience wants to hear certain stories, and I think they want to hear stories about what a bad guy Jesse Jackson is. So O'Reilly took this on. It was great in the ratings, and it worked well for the audience.
Yeah. We've got one more call for you, Peter, Jim in St. Louis. If you can hold on over this break, we'll pick it up just before the end of the show.
Sure.
That's all right. Okay, great. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the True People's Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel relief fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylan's a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylan's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylan's.
Ah, soothing at the
speed of life.
Oh, hon, this cold. Oh,
here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh. So you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Doolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
you know, right. Well, it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program, the pill that will help you escape the matrix. Welcome back. We're talking with Peter Hart, author of The O'Reilly Factor, unspinning Fox News Channel's Bill O'Reilly, and in charge of media activism and administration at Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. And Peter, Jim in St. Louis, he popped off the line. Apparently he thought when we went to break we had wrapped up the hour. So I've got two quick questions for you for the remaining 2.5 minutes we have in this hour. Number one, have you folks tried to get or gotten copies of the memo from the Fox News newsroom, this daily thing that goes out that talks about the spin for the day? And number two, what rhetorical tricks do you see Bill O'Reilly using when he's losing an argument?
We haven't seen copies of the actual memo. I'd heard about it beforehand. The producer at Fox, Charlie Reyna, was a pretty friendly guy and worked hard there, but I think, you know, it was known that he had some difficulties. FAIR's former executive director, Jeff Cohen, worked with him on a show called Fox News Watch. So I think there's some awareness of what goes on inside Fox, and frankly, I think this is the tip of the iceberg. If any of the insiders at Fox wanted to eventually spill the beans, I'm sure we would learn much more than we've heard already. So it's not a surprise that they have a memo that goes around and suggests language and whatnot. As far as O'Reilly's rhetorical tricks, the most obvious one is to tell people he doesn't like to shut up. So sometimes they're more subtle than that. And there's a section of the book where we deal with a few of those where O'Reilly usually claims that he's got statistics that contradict what a guest is saying. You'll hear him say, you know, I've got the stats right here. And oftentimes he doesn't have any stats, or if he does, he has stats that either don't apply or don't make any sense relative to what he's talking about. We ran through one example in the book where O'Reilly was trying to make an argument about how many single mothers are on welfare. And he told Now's Kim Gandy that 58% of single-mom homes are on welfare. She challenged that. O'Reilly came back the next night with a slightly different statistic and then came back the third night and said 14% of single moms are on welfare, which is a huge difference between 58. But it's usually he's just confident about what he's saying.
Peter Hart, thank you very much, Peter, for being with us today.
My pleasure.
We've been talking with Peter Hart, author of The O'Reilly Factor. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Talk radio for the rest of us.
It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the siren.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The Daily Variety reported on Monday that CBS is considering canceling or postponing its upcoming miniseries, The Reagans. The director of the four-hour TV movie, Robert Alan Ackerman, may ask the Directors Guild of America to remove his name from the movie in protest and has quit the production over creative differences with CBS executives, who he said have insisted on many last-minute alterations to the miniseries. Neither producers for the two-part film, slated to air November 16th and 18th, nor Ackerman's representative could immediately be reached for comment. CBS will decide soon whether to pull the miniseries from the network's November schedule altogether and possibly reschedule it for a later date once satisfied with the final edits. Uncertified software may have been installed on electronic voting machines used in one California county, according to the Secretary of State's office. Mark Correll, Assistant Secretary of State for Policy and Planning, told attendees Thursday at a panel meeting on voting systems that California was halting the certification process for new voting machines manufactured by Diebold Election Systems until the Secretary of State's office can investigate the matter. Correll mentioned discovery of disconcerting information that Diebold may have installed uncertified software on its touchscreen machines used in one county, which was later revealed to be Alameda County. Diebold officials who were attending the meeting seemed surprised by the announcement and expressed displeasure to several panelists afterwards that it had been introduced in a public forum. The UN's top nuclear weapons inspector Monday called on the United States to provide his agency with a copy of a classified American report on Iraq's banned weapons and to allow his inspectors to return to Iraq. If there are weapons, we would like to find them. If there are no weapons, we would like to conclude the issue, said Mohammed El-Baradei, Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency. They owe us the classified version. He reiterated that the United States, like all UN member states, is obliged under the terms of Security Council resolutions to provide his agency with information that advances its knowledge of Iraq's past nuclear ambitions.
More news after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
A woman in Germany was surprised when the intercom system she was using to monitor her sleeping baby picked up a radio conversation in which a thief described his bungled robbery of a nearby bar. Instead of hearing her baby's wails, the mother got the 46-year-old's confession. She then informed police, who promptly arrested the thief. The man had been talking about the attempted robbery to friends over a CB radio set when the conversation was intercepted by the baby's intercom system.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Does Burger King have a new fire-grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette. All with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Sometimes I miss the old days. Remember back when war profiteering actually was thought to be a bad thing? Indeed, Harry Truman considered it treason. But hey, that's so old school. In these modern times of corporate coziness with Washington, war profiteering is business as usual, just another of the entitlements that flow from corporate campaign contributions. And far from denouncing it, top officials applaud it, ably assist it, and even become profiteers themselves. Dick Halliburton Cheney, for example, is the poster boy of the ever-revolving door between the Pentagon and war profiteers. But now, multi-billion dollar profiteering by such names as Halliburton, Bechtel, and Boeing has become such a booming business that a new kind of corporate consultant has sprung up, profiteering facilitator. These are political insiders who use their Washington connections to help paying clients get fat government contracts from us taxpayers to do this or that in Iraq. Many of these boondoggles are awarded out of the political offices of the White House and Pentagon with no competitive bids and little or no congressional oversight. Among the profiteering facilitators to set up shop is Joe Albaugh, a longtime Texas political crony of George W.'s who was appointed honcho of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Now, Joe has spun through the government's revolving door to open New Bridge Strategies, getting huge fees paid by corporations that want Joe's guidance on getting a piece of that $87 billion that the Bushites are dumping into Iraq this year. Of course, facilitators like Joe see no ethical conflict in profiteering on their connections. Albaugh has proven to be ethically clueless, saying, "Because my friend is President of the United States, I'm supposed to check out of life?" This is Jim Hightower saying, "No, Joe, just check out of being a corrupt pig."
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as
you
I was know. Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stepman's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. Today is day 756 in the search for the anthrax killer, the person who, just by coincidence, as Pat Leahy, head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and Tom Daschle, head of the Senate Democrats, who were then in control of the Senate, were trying to decide whether or not they should kill the Patriot Act, and seemed to be inclining toward killing it. Both of them suddenly got anthrax in the mail. Another great mystery that this administration that is so tough on crime finds itself totally baffled by, totally confused. They don't know what to do. They're just a... Anyway, Martin Zakatsky Tekestil. I don't pronounce Spanish very well. This fellow... According to this article published by the Cox News Service yesterday, Mexican workers say rights denied as firms threaten to pull out. can recite the names of trendy jeans like the American, like any, like an American mall rat, Tommy Hilfiger, Calvin Klein, Levi's, Guess. He ought to know before he was fired this summer. Zakatzi alleges that he and 1,300 other employees at a textile factory in southern Mexico were forced to sew together thousands of jeans a day with little or no overtime compensation to augment base wages of little more than $1 an hour. Sometimes they were ordered to sew from 8 a.m. on Fridays until 4 a.m. on Saturdays. Goes on to say the factory is co-owned by Tarrant Apparel Group of Los Angeles and wealthy Mexican textile magnate Carnell Nassif, who has made headlines in Las Vegas for high-stakes gambling. Well, you don't pay the employees, you end up with extra cash. The article goes on to say, in today's Mexico, workers who try to exercise their rights are feeling the squeeze of global competition. At the Agilpan factory, some of the workers say supervisors are warning them to acquiesce to excessive demands that they work harder and faster, or else, and here's where it gets interesting, or else the U.S. companies that once flocked to Mexico will go to China, where workers earn even less. And then there was a labor action there. The dispute at Tarrant Mexico began in June when about 800 workers staged a Norma Rae-style work stoppage. Then they gathered about 750 signatures demanding that they be allowed to form an independent union. Well, the company would have nothing of that. Since their work stoppage, employees also say Tarrant has fired workers in waves, starting with all the leaders of the union drive, including Zakatzky. And they go on to point out in the article that this is about imbalances of power. I mean, I mentioned this on the radio yesterday. People think that wages are a function of how well the economy is doing. There is this myth that the cons are out there spreading, that if George W. can only get the economy back together by giving enough people who earn their living by sitting on their butts getting their dividend checks, tax cuts, then the economy will go humming and all of a sudden wages will go up. There is a certain component of supply and demand to the wage equation. However, it cuts both ways. We are seeing, ever since the late 1970s, basically ever since Ronald Reagan came into office and declared and began the conservative class warfare, declared conservative class warfare on the working class in America, and busted up the Air Traffic Controllers Union and began, authorizing the government to essentially support corporations that were union busting. Ever since that time, real wages in the United States have been dropping. They rose steadily from the late 1930s or the mid-1930s all the way up to the late 1970s. And then they kind of leveled off there for a year or so, and then under Reagan they started going down, and they have been declining ever since. It's not about supply and demand altogether. That is a variable, but that's the smallest variable. The largest variable is power. When corporations can organize together and form conglomerates, form trade associations, get together as chambers of commerce, that combined power, the union that is formed by that power, can only be balanced in the workplace by the power of workers organizing together in what we refer to as labor unions. Now, Nassif's office in Mexico City, again back to this article from the Cox News Service, referred calls to Jorge Echeverra, a plant spokesman. Echeverra called the union supporters who were fired, quote, bad for Mexico. He said, this is a company spokesman for this plant in Mexico. He says, don't you know the United States doesn't buy from us anymore, that you buy everything from China now? Then you send people down here to dare to investigate human rights abuses. How dare we? Well, that's the kind of the downside of it. Now, there is an upside to it, and for that we have today's I Caught You Doing Something Right. Yes, indeed, folks. Try to look for opportunities to catch people doing things right. And this is a particularly good one. Today it's Representative Josh Zepnik, a state representative from Milwaukee, Democrat of Milwaukee. And what Josh has done is, this is from the Madison, Wisconsin newspaper. You'll find it at madison.com. A state legislator from a family with a proud union history has authorized legislation that would provide public schools with instructional materials about the civic and economic contributions of working men and women. Now, on the one hand, I think this is absolutely great. Here we've got Representative Josh Zepnik, Z-E-P-N-I-C-K, Democrat of Milwaukee. He was a member of the United Food and Commercial Workers, UFCW Union, before he became a congressman. His father is a retired member of the local chapter of the CWA, the Communications Workers of America, and his mother is a retired member of the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association. Even his grandfather was a union organizer in Milwaukee in the 1920s who helped create or helped form the Hotel Employees and Restaurant Employees Union Local 122. Great guy. Good family, good, you know, the care about labor. And here comes Josh Zepnik, our Caught You Doing Something Right of the day, proposing to fund the required education program with the sale of labor license plates. So this isn't even an unfunded mandate. He's saying, okay, we are going to teach in our schools about the history of the labor movement in the United States, and we're going to get the money to pay for teaching this by selling license plates that say something nice about organized labor. They're going to have a contest for the design. And you buy these plates, like a vanity plate, costs an extra $15 to $25, and that money goes into a pool, and the pool then will be used, as it said in the news article here. The new bill states that studies of state, national, and world history would include the knowledge of the history of organized labor in America and the collective bargaining process, end quote. And, you know, God bless him. This is great. Here we have a state legislator in the great state of Minnesota saying, hey, why don't we teach labor history? And I think that's great. And, in fact, let me just close with the music. Yes, indeed. Well done. Now, let me add my caveat to this. Why are we already teaching this stuff? What has happened in America that our schools... Well, I can tell you what has happened. Textbooks now have to be vetted by the state of Texas. If a textbook won't make it through the state of Texas, there's a board of citizens that rule on whether textbooks are too liberal or too not in Texas. And if Texas decides not to buy a textbook because they don't like what it says, the textbook manufacturers don't publish it because Texas is the largest purchaser of textbooks in the United States that exercises this sort of censorship power. And this has been going on for about two decades. The dirty little secret of the education business. That the right-wingers in the state of Texas control the content of the textbooks in our schools. And so now, all across America, here we have a middle class in this country. Yes, it is wasting away. It is being replaced. We've had almost 3 million people now in the last 3 years since George Bush was elected, move from the middle class to the working poor or just the plain old flat-out unemployed poor. And the real number is more than 3 million because they stop counting when you've been unemployed more than 6 months. A nice little trick. And so we have a middle class that's vanishing, but the middle class, for what it's worth, for what we have, what we had of it, what we have left of it, exists in the United States because of, in large part, because of the labor movement and the minimum wage laws that the labor movement got passed in the United States in the 1930s. Actually, it got them passed back in the 1890s, and they were declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court in the 1920s. And then Roosevelt got them passed again in the 1930s, and he succeeded in stacking the court with more progressive justices, and so they haven't been declared unconstitutional again. But the Republicans would love to declare them unconstitutional. How dare labor have any say in how they're compensated? We don't need an American middle class, they say. Poor, desperate people are easier to manipulate. They're easier to confuse. They're easier to control. All you have to do is run a lot of advertising. All George W. Bush has to do is get a $250 million war chest. Excuse me, $250 million war chest. And he'll be able to carpet bomb the nation with advertisements that twist and distort his record in a way that makes it look like he actually did something good for this country. Now, I know that sounds harsh. But tell me one thing he's done good, and I may change my tune. You're going, well, you know, he's prosecuted the war on terrorism. No, that's a whole other. We'll save that rant for another day, unless somebody wants to call me up and take me to task for it. But so, why are we not teaching the history of labor in our American schools? Why is not every student who graduates from high school? I mean, we've got kids graduating from high school who don't know how to balance checkbooks, wouldn't know how to start or run a small business, and don't know how to participate in organized labor or in union activity. Why not? These are just the essential cores of the things that have made democracy vital and vibrant and alive in the United States. Time to bring them back. Talk radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel relief fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
We'll be back with more music, but first, a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Looking for a different way to get relief from sore muscles or achy joints? Now you can get fast, targeted relief from a name you trust. Try new Bear Muscle and Joint Cream. It targets the pain precisely. Just rub it in right where it hurts. New Bear Muscle and Joint Cream actually increases circulation at the site of pain to soothe that achy soreness fast. Take aim at the pain with a name you trust. Try new Bear Muscle and Joint Cream and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
That's the Tom Hartman Program right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The Marianne Williamson Show.
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here today. I'm glad you're with me. I will be on every Monday through Friday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins and Peter Lawford.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
He listened to the drumming. He knew his time was coming. His life upon the earth was soon to cease. In a world full of fighting and wrongs in need of righting, the man who went to war would find his peace. He rode a wave, his help he gave, and he went out with the tide.
And welcome back to the radio support group of, by, and for we, the people of the United States of America. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. I'd like to thank Dave Lippman for some of the music that we've had today, and our bumper music, by the way. And 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937, if you have comments, questions, concerns, arguments, criticisms, whatever. And Phil in Florida is on the line. Hey, Phil, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, I think I can help answer the question that you asked. I'm assuming it's not a rhetorical question about why aren't they learning this and that. Mm-hmm. Some years ago, I'm a teacher. Some years ago, there was this big effort to go back to the basics, fundamentals, and this kind of thing.
Right.
And what's going on is the curriculum now is based on basically a 1950s model.
Which means what?
Which means that the kids are being taught things that are obsolete, and they're not being taught things they need to know in order to get a job and to work in a business.
Oh, because the 1950s model was, I started kindergarten in 1955. So the 1950s model was basically where, and many of my friends ended up, working. I mean, their goal was to get out of high school and get a job at Oldsmobile. I grew up in Lansing, Michigan.
Right.
And so, the schools were designed to create people who could work at Oldsmobile.
Let's go on, of course, including Oldsmobile. But let me give you some examples. They spend 4 years teaching kids cursive writing instead of the keyboard. Most of the writing you do in business is on the keyboard. It's not in cursive writing. And most important forms you fill out say at the very top, please print.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't teach the keyboard. Okay, that's an example. They're still teaching inches, yards, ounces, the English measurement. This is the only country in the world that still uses English measurement. And by the time a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old is out in the work world, we're going to be on the metric system. Canada uses metric. Mexico uses metric. Even England, Great Britain, uses the metric system. But we're still teaching kids ounces, miles, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Now, Phil, I know that there are elementary schools that have computers. We have them here in Vermont. So are you just describing your local schools there in Florida?
No, I'm saying that, yeah, they got a few computers, but usually the ratio is maybe 1 to 20, one computer for every 20 kids. But what I'm saying is that the kids are not learning the keyboard, so they don't have to hunt and peck. No one's teaching them the keyboard. They're spending money and time teaching kids cursive writing.
But, I'm not sure that that's a bad thing.
Well,
I'm more concerned, frankly, about the content in the higher grades. We're not teaching civics anymore. I mean, this is about that.
Well, actually, the only real teaching nowadays that goes on is in elementary school. Because middle school is a repeat of all the stuff you forgot from elementary school. Okay? And high school is advanced babysitting. Okay? The kids aren't interested in learning much of anything. And they go to the computer lab so they can get on it. You know, a chat.
Phil, I think you're just wildly. I mean, I've raised three kids, and through the public school system, more or less. I mean, our first one went all the way through the public school system. Our second one spent some time in a private school, and our third one we homeschooled half, you know, after its seventh grade. But our, you know, I've seen very progressive schools in several different states that we've lived in here in the United States.
Well, I'm talking California. And I'm an out-of-work teacher here in Florida because there's a surplus of teachers.
Yeah. Huh. Well, the one thing that I do see, and I used to do in-service training for teachers around issues of attention deficit disorder, is incredible unevenness from school district to school district. It's a real problem in the United States. Phil, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Some wild swine in Georgia are great guinea pigs, but less than desirable neighbors. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Spanish settlers brought pigs to an island off the coast of Georgia more than 400 years ago and raised them for food. The pigs on Ossabaw Island have been running loose ever since, and today people have mixed opinions about the animals. Some say they're a nuisance, others say they're a valuable resource for the study of human disease. Ilir Brisbane is an ecologist with the University of Georgia, and he's studied the feral pigs. He says they've developed a low-grade form of diabetes, and it helps them survive an unpredictable diet. Brisbane says the free-ranging pigs survive mainly on acorns. He says their metabolism lets them pile on fat to get through years when acorns are scarce. But he says the pigs don't show any sign of the cardiovascular problems that are typically linked with obesity.
And the question is, how are these pigs' circulatory systems, cardiovascular systems, how are they functioning out on the island when they get really fat and the acorns are falling? Why aren't they keeling over of heart attacks and strokes like people do when they get overweight and too much hardening of the arteries here?
Brisbane says answering these questions means studying the behavior of the pigs in the wild, not just in a lab. But he says the pigs are hard on the island environment. When acorns are scarce, they look for food in salt marshes. They tear up valuable habitat for shrimp, crabs, and oysters. They also destroy the nests of sea turtles. To protect the turtles, natural resource managers in Georgia shoot hundreds of the pigs every year. Brisbane talked about the difficulty of juggling environmental protection and medical research during a recent meeting of the Ecological Society of America. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
From the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Got an email from Eric in China. Yesterday I was talking about edges, and first of all, I quoted the wrong novel by James Clavell. It should have been Shogun, and I think I said Gaijing, which is the Japanese word for non-Japanese person. But anyhow, Shogun. And Eric says, I'm a Canadian educator living in China, and I listen to your show regularly and enjoy it immensely. Moments ago, you were discussing edges, their volatility, and the potential for change. As an example, you discussed Japan's Meiji period and Captain Perry. That period of Japanese history was actually called the Tokugawa period, a period of stagnation enforced by the peace of the powerful Tokugawa shogunate. Meiji, in contrast to what you said, was the emperor responsible for reforms that came as a result of the edge Japanese society found itself in the face of changes brought about by foreign incursions that teetered the power from the Tokugawa and gave the emperor a chance to stand in as a political entity rather than a puppet, quasi-religious figurehead holed up in Kyoto. Still love your show, but I thought I'd correct this little inaccuracy. Keep the shows coming, Eric in China. Eric, thank you very much for the feedback, and thanks for setting me straight and giving me an opportunity to set our listeners straight. So now you all know. Have you noticed? Probably not. This is one of those below-the-radar things. But have you noticed that the draft boards are recruiting? I mean, since the late 1970s, well, really since the early 1970s, I think it was 1973, as I recall, yeah, that Congress, you know, as the war in Vietnam was winding down, that was when Congress ended the draft. And to crank this thing back up is going to require an act of Congress and a signature of the president. But the infrastructure is still in place. And a government website, defendamerica.mil, military website, has quietly begun a public campaign to revive the draft boards. The site says, serve your community and the nation. If a military draft becomes necessary, approximately 2,000 local and appeal boards throughout America will decide which young men receive deferments, postponements, or exemptions from military service. Local draft board volunteers, I mean, there's already people who have volunteered to be on the draft board. I mean, they've had them continuously. It's just they've been understaffed. And this past summer, during training sessions, many of them were actually asked if they could recommend friends and people that they knew who could fill vacant seats. It's like all of a sudden there's a hurry to fill the draft boards. The Department of Defense has not tried to fill vacancies in the draft board and the appeals board since 1981. Could it be that a public campaign has begun? You know, Donald Rumsfeld in his leaked memo. This thing, when this first came out, it's going to be a long, hard slog. This really redeemed Rumsfeld's image. I mean, all of a sudden, everybody's going, oh, gee, this guy's very thoughtful, and, you know, he's thinking outside the box, and he's really not the dummy that we all thought he was, and, you know, he's willing to talk about what's really going on. And, you know, the leaked memo. And not one indignant word from Rumsfeld about, how dare anybody leak this thing? No. Instead, he goes on all the weekend talk shows and plays expert.
Well, I'm very thoughtful about these things.
But it's going to be a long, hard slog, he says. And could this be the beginning of the massaging of public opinion in the United States so that Americans will be prepared to accept the return of the draft? I mean, consider. There's actually been, there was Charlie Rangel in the House of Representatives and Fritz Hollings in the Senate. Last January, introduced legislation to revive the draft, to flip the switch and turn the thing back on. And neither one of them made their way out of committee. They're going nowhere. Republicans are not going to let this thing surface before November 2004. Ain't going to happen. But if you look at the statistics, or you just listen to Charlie Rangel. He says a draft is inevitable if things continue the way they're going. We have failed to convince our allies to send troops. Well, yeah, there's 30,000 troops, I guess, from other countries. It's nowhere near what is needed. We are training an Iraqi army. You know, one of the interesting things, I mean, I just digress here for a moment. One of the things that I think is really interesting is that democracies, by and large, and you could argue that Japan is the exception. But democracies, by and large, emerge out of struggle. Germany was a democracy before World War II. Japan never had been. And there are some who suggest, and in fact, there was a very thoughtful article on Common Dreams. I don't remember where it was first published. I don't have it in front of me here right now. That suggested that the resistance that we're seeing in Iraq right now, which has, a local resistance without the support of the populace will last one day. I mean, and then they're toast because people turn them in. I mean, if somebody in your community was going out with a rifle and killing people and you knew about it, wouldn't you turn them in? I mean, think about it. This is like the DC sniper thing, only everybody knows who it is and there's thousands of them. And nobody's turning them in. Nobody's going to the Americans and going, I know, it's Ralph down the street. He lives four houses down on the left. He's the guy that was shooting at you. No, they're kicking in doors and busting in houses and dragging people off to jail and vanishing people and nobody's talking. So anyhow, this article suggested, and it really gave me pause, suggested that the resistance that we're seeing to our occupation, to our corporations buying up Iraqi industries, to Halliburton taking over the Iraqi oil industry, to Bechtel taking over the Iraqi road building and infrastructure building industry, and on and on and on, to the importation. I mean, we won't even hire Iraqis to clean the latrines and sweep out the barracks in Iraq. We import Filipinos and we're bringing people in from India to do this, as do many of the countries in the Gulf region, because the military doesn't trust Iraqis. You never know, one of them might be one of those guys who shoots at us. And so you've got this indigenous kind of uprising going on, and in a strange kind of way, some suggest this could be a good sign for the future of Iraqi democracy, because it means that the Iraqis are starting to say, hey, wait a minute, we want to have our own country. We want to have our own government. We don't want anybody telling us how to do things. And out of that comes the transition. That's the edge that we talked about yesterday. Out of that comes the transition that leads, in many cases, to democracy. Now, it also can be the transition that leads to autocracy, to dictatorship, to feudalism. Not very often these days anymore is it leading to communism, but which is another form of dictatorship, essentially, the way it's been played out in most countries. So it could break either way. We could end up with a new Taliban. We could end up with, something like Iran, with, ayatollahs and a parliament trying to balance power with this. It's kind of like we have the Supreme Court that balances the legislature. They have the ayatollahs who balance the legislature. Only the ayatollahs, just like the Supreme Court, have veto power. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of this. But anyhow, this draft board, as a consequence of this resistance that's going on in Iraq, we're having to have more soldiers. And according to a Stars and Stripes survey recently, half of the soldiers in Iraq say that they're not likely to reenlist. Where are we going to get all these soldiers from? I suspect that if we decide to continue this thing, first of all, my prediction is that we're going to declare victory and come home. But if we don't, that we're going to have to turn the draft back on. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Shane in Ohio is on the line. Hey, Shane, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I just wanted to give you a quick kudos and let you know that I'm definitely addicted to your program on Sirius, and I hope they continue to keep it on the air.
Well, thank you. As far as I know, they intend to.
I just wanted to kind of get back to the topic about education. I have never called into a talk show. However, my wife is in education, and we live in Ohio currently. And one of the things that I wanted to point out about that caller that was discussing education is I think what he was trying to get at is that a lot of people who are looking at trying to improve the education system want to go back to the 3 R's of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and want to use that as an excuse to cut funding and keep funding low for the public education system. And
right.
To me, that was what he was trying to get at, that they want to keep it back to how they had seen it work so that they don't have to pass levies, they don't have to spend the extra funding on education.
Yeah, but see, I remember in the 1950s, I don't remember which year it was, but I remember, I can still see the classroom, so it had to be like, third grade, fourth grade, something like that. I remember we memorized Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, we memorized parts of the Declaration of Independence, we understood what it was all about. I remember, literally coming out of fifth or sixth grade, knowing the difference between rights and privileges, and that in a democracy, humans held rights, and institutions only had privileges granted to them by the humans, whereas in kingdoms and aristocracies, the government held the rights, and the local people only had privileges. Now, I don't think that I just went to a normal middle class school in Lansing, Michigan. I don't think it was all that special.
I was just going to say, I agree with you that we still need to make sure that our children are understanding those issues. However, I incidentally point out that my wife is still teaching in that 1950 schoolroom that you went through. So my point is, in regards to that guy's comment, I think that what he's trying to establish is that the way that they are trying to pawn off cutting education is by talking about the idea that we have too many other extracurricular activities going on, we're not focusing enough on the fundamentals, and as a result, we shouldn't be paying for new schools, for new technologies, etc. That's the way I took his comment.
So you think this is part of the war on education, basically?
I really do. I mean, I see it at a local level. I see it as an issue of being able to point out in Ohio we have something called proficiency scores, and proficiency scores traditionally are not good in a lot of the schools, and it's a way for these right-wingers to point out that the way that education is being funded currently isn't working, we don't need to pay our teachers more, we need to make sure that we're getting back to the basics. Well, the basics have nothing to do with what you were talking about. The basics have to do with they want to cut, 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 and that's the way I viewed his comments as coming across. Incidentally, it's interesting because I actually work in pharmaceuticals, I will admit. However, I would point out that until we start paying teachers like professionals, I don't see how we can actually expect them to have results that professionals would have.
Yeah, and giving them the resources that a professional would have. I agree with you. I think that our teachers and our police officers should both be making well over $100,000 a year apiece, because they hold our future and the quality of our present life in their hands. And we have too many people in both professions, particularly in the police profession, who are there for the wrong reasons. And that's a whole other discussion, but. Back to education. I think that one of the agendas that everybody is missing is the corporatization of education. The desire to get rid. I mean, this is actually, I think, the conservative agenda is a war on public education, publicly funded education. Period. Let's turn everything back into vouchers. Let's give the free enterprise a chance to shine here. Chris Whittle and his schools and whatnot, and let's corporatize education and allow the corporations to create schools the way they want and teach kids the way they want. That's the agenda behind the agenda, in my opinion. You see the No Child Left Behind. It was a huge giveaway program for the testing industry.
And I just see it that, really, until we're willing to pay our teachers as professionals, how can we have expectations from them to produce results? I don't see it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of very, very good people in education who are there because they care and they are getting results, but we do need to be compensating them appropriately. Thanks, Shane, for the call. I appreciate it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
When Brian and Amy decided to sell their home, someone was there to make sure that things went smoothly. Someone was there to help them see it through a buyer's eyes. Someone was there to help price it, show it, close it. And when Brian and Amy found the house they wanted to buy, someone else helped them get through that process just as smoothly.
Congratulations, we did it.
If you're thinking about selling your home, work with someone who works with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life. Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
The Tom Hartman
Hartman Show.
Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up?
I just find it that you guys are really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk troop lives to make money. You must think that these guys are really evil people.
If you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, what they were saying basically, if we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East.
Is this what you say they said, or is this what they had stated in a policy and in a
This
in
is
a
what they
contract?
Said.
Why is this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Sort of get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You're in the Democracy Zone. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program today was produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont and Joe McPherson down in Atlanta, and engineered by Shar Jones in Detroit. I just wanted to let you know that. And on the draft board thing, I want to say I am in favor of a return to the draft. We really didn't get a chance to wrap that topic up, and we will on some future day. But I think that we should have national service in the United States, and I think it should be a rite of passage for our young people. And I'll just leave it at that, because Glenn is on the line. Glenn is called 1-800-TALK-YES from Arizona and has some comments on the discussions of the day. Hey, Glenn, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. We got about 2 minutes left here.
Well, thank you, Tom. I just wanted to make a quick comment on the education. I think a lot of it has to do with responsibility. Parents need to take responsibility to help, you know, educate their children, make sure that they are getting the education that they are actually paying for.
Well, Glenn, hang on, if I can just interrupt you for a second. What about the parent who is working two or three jobs, where you get two parents working two jobs at Walmart wages, and between the two of them, they're just barely scraping by at the bottom of the poverty level, which is, you know, happening all across the United States, and they're exhausted, they're burned out because America is progressively becoming more and more working poor and less middle class. How do they even have the time to do that? I mean, aren't you talking about something that's really a middle class and upper middle class luxury these days?
Right. Well, see, that goes to the responsibility of the government being able to make sure that the people are making enough money that they don't have to have two or three jobs.
Yeah. So like Teddy Roosevelt said, we need to have fair wage laws, not just minimum wage laws, living
right.
wage.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. All right, then we're on the same page. Is that it?
That's all I need to say. I appreciate it, Tom.
All righty. Great. I thought there was something more coming. Glenn, thank you. I don't disagree that parents need to be involved in the education of their kids. I'm sorry. We certainly have been. We ended up homeschooling one of our kids. I totally agree that the government should be participating in the education and the process of defining what our payrolls are. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place.
Listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do? Being on the tractor as much time as I do or spending time with the animals.
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer.
Yeah,
you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature. And you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.